Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
We're in the second week of a series called Why Not? And, you know, I was listening to that song. It's, you know, make me whatever you want me to be. Jesus wants us to be generous. We don't have to ask him whether that's what he wants us to be. It is obvious in his scripture. That's what he calls the people of God to be, and that's generous people. And last week, Rick talked about our different personalities that we can have and how it sort of affects the way that we like to use money and how we think about money. And then he also said that every one of us needs the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in order to give and use our money in the way that he wants us to do that. And then he spoke about a few things that we need, like humility to know that, you know, what we have is not our own. Transparency, to be honest with God about how we're using our finances. And consistency, because it's one thing to, you know, to get moved to give some money one day. It's quite another to be consistent in the way that you're giving. Today, I want to talk about the different hearts that we can have for giving. And can I say right up front that when I'm talking about giving in the context of the church, I'm talking about significant giving. Now, Rick was quoting me a statistic he read online the other day that said that 85% of millennials give to charity, which seems like a very high percentage, but basically that probably means that you might give $10 online to the Red Shield Appeal or the Royal Children's Hospital. And that's great, but I'm not talking about that sort of giving, because the people of God are called to so much more. The sort of giving I'm talking about is the giving that's talked about in the Bible, and that's giving that is so significant that you feel you have to sacrifice something to do it, and you feel you have to alter your lifestyle priorities in order to give. That's the sort of giving that it talks about in the Bible. And throughout the scriptures, and I believe the Bible is full of wisdom that God wants to get to us, not that he just wants to take something from us, but he wants to get good stuff to us. And the good stuff he wants to get to us is that round about 10% of what we earn is a good thing to give away, because that is significant enough to cause us to sacrifice and to adjust our lifestyle priorities in order to do it. That's the wisdom of the Bible. But, you know, I've realised, and this all goes back to a conversation that Rick and I had over dinner with Paul and Ruth as a party. We were talking about giving and finances in the church. And talking to Ruth and Paul, I realised both of them had just very different reasons why they gave their money to the church. And I thought, that's interesting. And I started doing a bit of study in the Bible. And I'm sure you could come up with more, but I've come up with seven particular hearts that I can see in the Bible, or why people get inspired to give. So what I'd like you to do is pull out your notes page, which is in your information pack, and we're going to write these down. There's seven of them. And then as I'm writing them, I want you to be ready for the Holy Spirit to go, "Ooh," a kick in the backside when you get to the one that really inspires you, all right? And you might have more than one, "Woo," okay? If your Holy Spirit inspired, you should have seven "woos," all right? So let's go. First one, motivation for giving, pure devotion and love for Christ. Oh, I heard it over there. Pure devotion and love for Christ. Now, there's a beautiful story when Jesus was at having dinner with some people one night, and this broken woman who he had healed earlier came in and broke this very expensive bottle of oil all over his feet to anoint him. And people were so critical of her. It was like, apparently it was worth like a whole year's wages. Can you imagine just sort of wasting that? And Jesus said at the time, she has done a beautiful thing to me, just out of this pure devotion to him. And it says in the Bible, Jesus says that wherever the stories of the Gospels will be told in the future, this woman's story will be told. It was like Jesus was putting, you know, a highlighter on what she'd done. So people can give out of pure devotion and love for Jesus. The second heart is a gratitude to God for his goodness. This is the heart that says, this world has so many beautiful things in it, and God has been so good to me, and I can't help but give back. You know, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. This is someone who's just filled with gratitude for what God's done for them. Third one. Am I going too fast? Oh, sorry. Sorry, Terry. Just put gratitude. Just shorten it. Okay. All right. Number three. I'll give you a short one. Okay. The third one is compassion for the poor. You can just put poor if you're struggling to write that quickly. Compassion for the poor, or you've got a compassion for justice. It's like, you know, you see what's happening around you. You know you've got stuff that you can share, and you want to make sure that people are given dignity and honour. Proverbs says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. The fourth heart is a heart of obedience and faithfulness. Obedience and faithfulness. Now, this is the heart that says, God says in the scripture that I should give. So I don't care what the need is, I need to give because the Bible says I should. So in Proverbs it says, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Now, these words were spoken into an ancient farming community. And of course the idea was that when the farmer brought in his load of wheat, his harvest of wheat, the first thing he would do would be to take a tenth of his harvest and he would give it into the temple, which is the equivalent of their local church. So today the updated version is, honour the Lord by bringing the first part of your salary to the church. And in the book of Malachi is a prophet. A prophet's job was to speak out the truths of God to his people. Malachi says this, and he's talking to the Hebrew people at the time who had really lost their passion for God. But I believe the truth is still there for us. It says, in tithes and offerings you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be resources in my house. So what he's saying is, please don't skimp on what you bring to the church. If you do, you're robbing God. That's what Malachi is saying. And then he says this, test me in this. God is saying, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven to you. Probably one of the few times in the Bible where God actually says to us, test me. The next heart is a desire to see lost people find Jesus. A desire to see lost people find Jesus. And there you have Luke 15, all those beautiful stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son that we often call the story of the prodigal son. It was God's heart for the lost. And the whole reason that the church exists is to help lost people find Jesus. The sixth heart is a desire to bless others and be blessed in return. A desire to bless others and be blessed in return. And I would add to that, a desire to battle the God of greed in my own spirit. It's that heart that says, I know that it is good for me to conquer greed and selfishness. And the best way to do that is learn to be generous. It's like the, you know, the contradiction to it. Proverbs 22:9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share food with the poor. And can I be really upfront here and say, we are not talking about a prosperity gospel that says, if I give $100 to somebody here, I'm automatically going to find this miraculous check for $1,000 in my whatever. Purse box. That's what I'm trying to write. You know, when I give $100 to somebody in need, you know what happens? I do without $100. But the blessing that comes to me from my soul expanding with joy to see what that does in their life, that's the blessing that God gives. So we are not talking about prosperity gospel. And the last heart is just this heart of responsibility to see the church flourish in its mission. And this is the heart that is quite pragmatic. It says, whoa, there's electric lights to be paid for. We want to allow certain people to be able to give up their jobs in order to work for the church, in order to serve us and our kids. So for that to happen, the people of God have to get together and pool their resources. That's the way the church has survived for thousands of years. So that's this heart of responsibility. Well, what I want to just give you a moment. If you can put all those up, Simone, on the screen. I just want to give you a moment to look at those, and I want you to tick one or maybe two. What are the main ones that really inspire you? And can I say, if there are none of them that inspire you, I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit will do some crushing and pressing in your soul, because you would have to be just a little bit dead to not be inspired by any of those to give. And we're not cross at you. We want the Holy Spirit to bring you alive. Let me invite up a few Gatorites onto the stage, and we're going to talk a bit about these different hearts. So you can applaud them all at the end. Otherwise, they'll get big heads. Okay. So we've got Trish Swenson, who is a mother of three beautiful boys, and she works on staff here at Gateway part-time. We have Brock O'Brien, who is a single dad, and he runs his own business in the area of concrete. I got it right this time. I said cement last time, and apparently that's wrong. Okay. We have Paul Azzopardi, who is works in the car industry and is an awesome fisherman, and used to be a bikie. We won't get you to show us your tats, but I know you have some. Ruth is Paul's wife, and she is a manager in the health industry. I said CEO last time. Apparently, I gave her a promotion. And then last but not least is Adrian Price, who is a chartered accountant, and he is also a member of the finance committee that helps control finances around Gateway. Now you can put your hands together and welcome these people. Now, we've chosen these five beautiful people. I know we could have chosen many of you here as well, but I know that all these people are committed to giving to Gateway, and they're all committed to giving regularly and faithfully, but they're doing it for different reasons. So I thought it'd be nice to sort of just tease that out, these different hearts that we have. So Trish, if we can start with you, tell me, out of all of those seven, which one really gives you... and inspires you?
Yeah, well, I can see how God has grown all of those things in my life over the years. But for me, I think it's started from a place of pure love and devotion for God. For looking at what he has done for me. Oh, gosh. All right, looking at what he's done for me and
now,
just...
can I just say that this happened in the last service too? No, but... But you know what it is? The Holy Spirit is touching each of you in a very deep place. But it's about money. And that's what I'm just so thrilled to see, that the Holy Spirit can touch you about money. And when he does, something beautiful comes out of it. Sorry, yep, Trish.
That's right. I'll keep it together now. So for me... I just look at what God has done for me and his love for me, and I can't help but to pour myself out for him. So that means in time, it means in with my talents, it means with my family. It's everything that I am, and that includes my money. And sometimes that can be the hardest thing in some ways, because I know that our treasure, where our treasure is where our heart is. So for me to pour out my money into this place and into God's work and into all of those things is just a reflection of my love for him.
So yeah. Trish, can you picture someone who feels they have a deep devotion and love for Jesus, but their pockets are totally closed to giving? Can you picture that?
Yeah, that's really hard for me, because for me that's just a reflection. What I do with my money is a reflection of my heart. So if my heart is saying that I love someone, I'm going to bless them in every way I can. And that means my time and everything else, but it also means my money. So that's always been something that we've tried to lean into.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Brock, you're a fairly new Christian. You got baptised last year here.
Yep.
And I think I'd be right in saying you've come from a pretty broken background.
Yeah, just within me and my soul.
Yeah.
So I sort of come from the gratefulness and gratitude sort of thing. I'm very thankful for what God's done in my life, just within a year or so. So that feeling that you get walking in the doors is like nothing else to me. The sense of freedom you have when you walk, like it's in my life now too, all around me. But that feeling you get walking into this church, I've been unlocked from fear, I'm free now, and there's love all around me. And you see it too in the people around you, all your friends and families that come in. You see the joy in their lives. So, yeah, I'm very thankful and grateful from where I've been to where I am now. And what
one thing about you, Brock, which is quite unique, very often when people accept Jesus as adults, it can take many years for them to start to use their finances in a godly way. But you sort of jumped straight in there, you know, and I think And you've already been generous, and you're being faithful and regular with your giving. But I think I said to you on the phone, do you feel you were a generous person before you met Jesus? And you said to me that you thought you probably were. You love to help people. But now there's a freedom. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's a different sort of ball game now, you know. Like, you can always be giving person and helpful person, but I think there's a difference between giving giving to causes and giving to things, and then giving generously. And I think giving generously, it hurts. It hurts you. It's painful because you're sacrificing money that's yours. You've earned it in the job, but don't forget where your job came from. You know, God provided you all these things, but it hurts because you you're sacrificing. It's painful. You're going to give up time, give up things that you want to do that are your plans, but at the end of the day, they're actually, you know, they're God's plans.
Yeah.
So
that's where awesome, Brock. Yep. I love that. Thank you. Ruth, in our conversations with you and Paul that night, you know, your heart was very different from Paul's. So what would you say is your main motivation for giving? Behave yourself, Paul.
If you can. So, Marcy, when you first asked me this question, my immediate response was my heart is to obey, and this sense of obedience being very, very important. But that expression of obedience and the way I understand that has probably changed over quite some time. So I grew up in a church family, but my family experience was that of a very conservative church. And so I very much thought God's word was about rules and regulations. And tithing was something that we did as a family, but it was because we had to, because God said. But more recently, I have realised that God's word is actually a communication to us about the best way to live. And I've realised that God wants the best for us. And so he provided some guidelines for us to get the best out of us. And that whole, I guess, revelation that God is such a beautiful God and loves us very deeply. And so I have a commitment to my church family. I love my church family, and I want to give back to my church family my first fruits. And you know, it's a way I get to express my love and commitment to my church family because of the work they do here and the reach they have to the community.
That's great, Ruth. Thank you. Paul, you've got a very different heart. And I know that part of it is a heart for the poor. Rick and I have learnt we've got to be very careful if Paul's around talking about P&G or any need that we have, because Paul will immediately say, what is it? What can I do to help? What do you need? And if Paul could give you the world, he would. Paul, talk about coming from broken backgrounds. That's very much your story as well.
Yep. Mm. Thanks for making this easy, by the way. I don't know, like, it's kind of weird. So coming from the biker world all those years ago and everything, you saw lots of things, and there was nothing that would really urge me to do anything about seeing a kid who was homeless or whatever. There was nothing. I was a bit of a brick, you know, like, try and get through to me, yeah, good luck, you know. And then he came along and smacked me over the head a few times, literally, and woke this thing in me that just all of a sudden it was like, wow, I don't know how to explain it other than one of my favourite passages is where the Good Samaritan and, you know, those righteous blokes go walking past that poor bloke who needs help and they don't do anything, and the bloke who is least likely to do anything about it or has least reason to do anything about it goes so well above and beyond that it's extremely challenging as to, like, why? What's... And I can't explain it from here. All I can explain is, as you said before, it just does something in here, and I can't not do it. Because a lot of the time, and this goes back to, I mentioned in the first service about this sermon I heard, and it was about, it's not about what would happen to me if I put myself out there in that dangerous position of helping a guy I shouldn't be helping. He's obviously been beaten up. I could get beaten up helping him, all that sort of stuff. I don't know what's going on. To what would happen to him if I didn't help him? Mm-hmm. And it was that, and this, and it just wells up, and I don't know how to deal with it, and so I just... do it.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, but... Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, looking at you two as a couple, you have... And I'm sure you've had your arguments over this whole issue of giving. And, I'm being really transparent here. As a married couple, if you've got different reasons or hearts for giving, often you will struggle as a couple. And I believe my husband's heart to give is more generous than mine.
Where did that come from?
And I think if we're left on our own, I will return to my default, and my default is selfishness. Is anyone there with me, or am I the only one? So if I don't constantly have the Holy Spirit and my husband in the form of the Holy Spirit encouraging me to lift my head to generosity, I would go to default. And I have learnt when Rick says, what's in your heart to give? I'll say, well, what's in your heart, whatever that is, we'll go with that. And that's taken me 40 years, girls. So let me encourage you, whoever is the most generous person in the pair of you, go with that, because that's the heart of God. Adrian. Adrian is a... you would say that your heart is one of obedience and responsibility because you're very involved with on the finance committee, so you hear what happens around here. But you said something that I really loved. You said when it comes to sort of the upkeep or the flourishing of this church family, it's up to us. Do you want to expand on that?
Sure. I have a sense of responsibility as a member of this community to really support it. I suppose my background is as an accountant, as you say, and I've been on many boards and finance committees and, you know, been in business. I understand that it takes a lot to run any organisation. There's a lot of, you know, you've got people, you've got resources and all these sort of things. And so we can't rely on, so as Gateway, we can't rely on Frankston Council to give us $1 million every year, even though that might be great. Because even though we do good work in the community, they're not going to pay. We can't expect the playgroup mums and dads who come along and enjoy that community to pay. As great as our, you know, performing arts shows are, it's great that someone comes along and we want to reach out to the community, but we can't expect them to contribute week in, week out. So I think that it's really up to me as someone who said, this is my spiritual home. You know, I look after my family at home. I want to make sure I have a good roof over their head and make sure they're well fed and, you know, have, you know, clothes and all that sort of stuff. And that's a sense of responsibility that I have as a parent. And yet when I think about my spiritual home, I see it no different. It's up to me. It's up to us to say, let's you know, we need to work together on making sure this mission that God has entrusted to us is fully resourced so that we can do as much as we possibly can. Mm. And because without us, there is no, sort of, as I think you've heard it before, there's no backup plan.
Yeah.
It's us.
That's great, Adrian. And I think you said that you felt that most people do have a heart to give, but they often find themselves in a place where their finances are in a mess or they're in such crippling debt that they feel like they can't get out of it. But you've just come across a resource recently that you felt is really helpful.
Yeah, sure. Many of you may have heard of the Barefoot Investor. It's been a number one, I'm not sure, number one, it's been a top seller in Australia, Australian book on managing your money. And it says, one of the quotes is, you know, on the front cover, it's the one and only money book you'll ever need. And I'd say, in addition to what we read in the scriptures and as we have today, I'd agree with that. So powerful. And one of the things that comes out is that as a community in Australia, we are so committed to spending and debt and credit cards and these sort of things. And we often are spending without even thinking about where it's coming from. And so it really goes through very simple processes of just organising your money well and being responsible with it. And as a Christian, I look at that and I say, you know, it's really important to understand what are the top priorities, and that's what the book talks about, is what are the things that are really important, the number ones, the daily expenses. Then you've got things like, you can have a splurge, yes, you can go and put some money aside for having a treat or having a holiday or savings, and those sort of principles are really good, and if you read the book, it'll really help your family. But I just come back to this sense of, for me, supporting this church and my community is one of those number one foundational things. And for me, that sits in those daily expenses bucket that the Barefoot Investor talks about. And it's about saying that's just number one amongst those other core activities. And then after that, once I've done that, yes, there's money to splurge and this and have whatever, but to really making that intentional. And so, you know, I would just recommend that to anybody.
Great. And as part of our finance committee, would you like to just make a brief statement about the way finances are used around Gateway?
Sure. I suppose I have a great sense of the integrity in what I see here and in the way that money is managed here at Gateway. There's this high level of accountability, high level of frugalness too. I think when you look at all that Gateway does in terms of the programs, the people, the, you know, all sorts of very varied activities, it's done with really, in the overall scheme of things, not a lot. You know, we get a lot of bang for our buck, if you want to use that terminology. And so I think that, you know, you can have confidence in giving to Gateway that the money is used carefully, thoughtfully, in a very considered way.
That's a great idea. How about we thank these great people? Thank you. And I just want to invite our senior pastor, Rick Painter, to come up and just finish off very quickly with talking about the finances of Gateway and the state of play and what's happening around Gateway at the moment.
Well, I think to start off, Marcy, I think I really appreciate you speaking with ordinary Gatorites like that. I think their stories are inspirational to me. I think there's a lot of good things happening around Gateway, and we don't have long enough for me to tell you all of those things, seriously. But let's talk about Camp Nofia just this year. There were, I think, over 40 first-time commitments of young people to Christ. That is a very significant impact on any church community. Props to all the team that achieved that. And, of course, many more young people also had their lives touched. Talk about just a couple of weeks ago, on Good Friday, you and the creative team here were a core part of putting on an event on the foreshore of Frankston, which saw maybe 4,000 people come and enjoy the story of Easter and a family festival. And you know, that's just a very significant impact on the community. It happens every year. Broadway in a week, of course, with our Seussical production as well in that same time zone. A lot of hard work there. But again, you know, many, many non-church families coming to our church and really enjoying it. And that's the outreach that's important. Our active ministries involved this year in, you know, raising the awareness of wellness and wholeness, particularly in our physicality. I know there's a whole team of bicycle riders as part of the active ministry who in a couple of weeks are going to ride from Sydney to Melbourne to raise $50,000 for Papua New Guinea. Get on it if you haven't already. But that's just such a huge thing. I've been privileged to be in the background to see all the organisation that goes into putting that together. It's astronomical kind of work involved so that, you know, 15 guys can ride a bike. But good to them. Talking about PNG, we had Pastor Kiap here for a couple of weeks, and you would have heard him say that we've just planted a new church in Papua New Guinea. That is not an easy thing to do anywhere, let alone in a third world country. And we've just started a whole new congregation. There's probably 50-plus people who meet now every week there. Pastor John, you'll meet next year when we bring him to Australia. Things like our CAP Debt Centre, which continues to run and help people to organise their finances. CAP Release, which is about overcoming addiction. I could go on and on and on about, you know, all the good things that are happening just so far this year, let alone what's happened over the 30-plus years. And if we look at our statistics, and Adrian, as you heard, is a part of helping us put that together. On average, there's 50 new people every week at Gateway from 12 months ago, 50 more people than what there were 12 months ago. And whilst we can still see some empty chairs in this auditorium, that goes more to the issue of our personal regularity than the total size. So Gateway's about 1,500 plus people who would regularly attend and get involved, not just people we know about. And on any one Sunday, we're now getting upwards of 700 people on the weekend. So lots of growth, lots of great things happening. The future, there's a whole bunch of future stuff. You're about to hear in a few weeks about some of the plans that we have to redevelop this centre. When we first came in here, we had to shelve a lot of things that we couldn't do. And so we're going to renovate particularly the God Zone end of things and really improve their facilities, cupboards and better rooms and spaces. We're going to add to our offices because currently, you know, we have the multi-share offices for everybody and we're really out of space for staff to work as they need to help us. We're going to put in a kitchen, yay! We're going to put in new toilets. We're going to put in a parents' room, you know, and we're going to lightly renovate the whole place because we've been here 8 years. So that's a future thing.
That's exciting, but there's something that you wanted to share with the family, which is, that's the good news. This is the not so good news.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to hold things by faith. You know that. And I still believe that is the direction that God wants us to go. The leadership are convinced of that, convinced in prayer. The finance team have said, yep, we can do this. But we have a gap which has developed in our ordinary, what I would call our regular and ordinary giving. Our budget, which hasn't increased much in the last couple of years, sits around $26,000 a week. We're only getting about $21,000. So there's about a $5,000 a week gap that's run from, you know, January through till now, probably started before.
So January. Our numbers are going like this.
Numbers of people being reached.
The amount
like
of
this.
Money yep. that people are giving is going like this.
Yeah, it's going down. And you know, it confounds me. I spend a lot of time working with people, encouraging them and planning and plotting, you know, their flourishing and stuff. And I guess when a church is growing and vibrant, and what a great place this is to be around, you sort of think, oh, well, more people coming, you know, we'll get a few more finances and we'll steward that well, as Adrian said. But it's actually gone south by about $5,000 a week. And that's just great concern to me. So, Marcy, we've decided to do as a leadership team is, even though we desperately need those God's own spaces and the kitchen and the toilets and all those other things, offices, we're putting that on hold until we can see ourselves bridging this gap.
Yeah.
Because I just think that would be a bit irresponsible. And that really pains me because, you know, this development is about future-proofing the church. This is about spaces for my children and my grandchildren and maybe my great-grandchildren. And, you know, you don't just, those things just don't magic themselves. Yeah. It means that the current generation have to learn to sacrifice into that. And we have such a big vision in this church, not only for here but for overseas. We're starting to plot and scheme new churches in Melbourne, and that's all now just come to a halt because where do you go if you can't resource that? You can wish for it, but you can't make it happen.
You know, some of the conversations we've had in our leadership meetings is that we know we have faithful people here who love God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, some of the things we've said is that perhaps we've got a little bit slack in making sure that our giving continues to rise, you know, as our salaries goes up. Like you and I, we adjust it every year to make sure we keep in touch. So sometimes we just get a bit slack and sometimes we just need a bit of a reminder that, oh, yeah, I need to put it up $20 or $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there are new people that have joined us.
Yes.
And maybe it's taking them a while to decide, okay, this is my family, and yes, now I need to start giving and helping.
Mm.
If that's either of where you sit, I think there's a challenge that we want to issue, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, you and I live in the real world. You know, we have mortgages and children, grandchildren, expenses. We understand how the world works. You know, for many years, I started out this as part-time, you know, without a full-time salary, left the full-time salary to do it. So I understand how it can get hard. But I think one of the things I love about you, even though you're quick to say you're not the most generous person, you're a very faithful person, and you've always sacrificed, regardless of where we are, and I'll tell a story on you, is that quite a few years ago, Gateway had come to a place where it needed extra finance quite quickly, and we had planned a holiday, which, you know, as you know, if you're going to take any significant holiday, it'll cost you a few $1,000s. So Marcy said to me, well, we're not going to take the holiday, we're going to give that money to Gateway instead, on top of what we normally give, which is quite generous. And I remember someone telling me at the time, oh, look, don't worry, you know, God will return that to you. And I have to say that, A, that didn't happen, and B, I didn't expect that to happen. It was kind of like, well, we haven't had a holiday for a few years, and we put this aside for a holiday. We are sacrificing this, and when that happens, you don't always get another holiday back, and we didn't. So I want to thank you for your encouragement of me as well. If we let this go unattended, if I didn't say anything to you because I was afraid to talk to you about this, that adds up to about 280,000 loss in 1 year. Now, 2 years ago, we had our first surplus as a church for many years because we're growing and we're having to spend and stuff, but we got to about 54,000 to the positive for the first time ever. And, you know, we were so excited and making plans about church planting and all sorts of other things and in good time and, you know, in a budgeted kind of way. But then last year, we flipped over to a 40,000 loss. So there's 100,000 turnaround in a year. And, you know, we prayed into that and we talked to many people and they encouraged us. And so we maintained our budget. But we've gone south from that, another few thousand.
Whenever we talk to people about, gaps in our finances, there's always good-meaning people who come up to us afterwards and, talk about, doing a cake sale or, something like that. Let's do sausage sizzles, right? But really, God is just calling all of us to be faithful with our finances and to give sacrificially. And it's those if every family in the church lifted their regular giving, we can do this.
Yeah. It's about $280,000 in the next 12 months. Yeah. We're aiming to try and raise an additional $100,000 by mid-year, by the end of the financial year. And you're right, that can happen in people giving lump sums, and I'll talk about that in a sec. But it's also that regular giving. If across the church we all went, we're going to just lift our giving for the sake of Christ and his church, then by the end of the year we will largely overcome that. We're still going to need, because we're behind, we're still going to need lump sums. Mm-hmm. So if you have a heart, to give generously in a lump sum way, can I encourage you to do that? Come and see me if you need to talk about tax deductibility. But Marcy, we've got a small group, a very small group in the church that we call Kingdom Builders, who own their own businesses and are entrepreneurs. And we met together about this issue a couple of weeks ago, and they were really quick to say, what can we do? And so I can tell you that within the last couple of weeks, that they've put an additional lump sum of $35,000 into the church. Yeah. And their heart is to say, heart is to say, towards that 100, the heart is to say, will the church match it or do better than that? Mm. And not everybody's got $35,000 to give, but over a range of people, but they are doing that to inspire us, to give us hope and to say, come on, we can lift. And it's no easier for a business person to give a lump sum of money than any other person. It's all about money that you have to carve out.
But you and I, and I know Mark and Sal as well, have felt all along that the bottom line is that this is a spiritual issue.
It is, yeah.
And so you are calling the men of the church to join you in prayer.
Yeah, Sally has recently opened up a Tuesday morning prayer meeting at her place at 7. That's for everybody. But as Marcy and I were on retreat recently and praying specifically into this issue, I heard God say to me, call the men to pray together once a week for 4 weeks. And we're going to start on this Wednesday morning at 6:30 in this building in the foyer.
You've got to love Jesus to be here at 6:30 on a Wednesday morning. We will have coffee.
Thank you. I'm not excluding ladies and stuff, as I said. You know me. There's no glass ceilings about gender in this church, but I just felt God say, call the men. And already I've had about 20 guys say to me, we'll be there. I had one young fellow who said, can he bring his mates? And it kind of just touched me. I thought, wow, just a young fella, really, really teenage guy, and I thought, good on you, buddy. So he's bringing his mates. So if you're a bloke and you think, hey, I can come at 6:30, come when you can, go when you must. We're going to be here for an hour, that's all. We're going to do some study together, we're going to pray together. Please, please do that. Also, we're going to put a giving card sometime in the next couple of weeks on your seats here. You might also receive an email just to sort of encapsulate the response mechanism, because I know a lot of people, even between services, came up to me and were saying, we're sorry, whatever. So, that's okay. I'm not trying to give you a guilt complex. But they said, how can we respond? So you'll see a card which will allow you to, make a lump sum or increase your giving or something. If you could fill that out, put it in the offering, and then we can have some, concrete way of going, okay, we can go forward with this. But the target's about 100 grand by mid-year.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's the regular giving. If we get regular giving beyond that as well, then we'll be able to cover the second half of the year.
But Rick, we in 32 years of this church, we've been in some pretty hard places. But God has always been faithful.
He has, and he is.
And that's because he works through the hearts of people.
Mm.
And he will be faithful. Hindsight says, I think we'll be singing that later, hindsight says we can count on this. Yeah. God hasn't finished yet.
And look, it's not that hard, I suppose, to put aside a renovation. Let's suck it up and somehow Sally Jones and her team will make it work anyway.
I want so much more for the kids. Much more for the kids.
Yeah, but, as the CEO of this organisation, I can't countenance going, okay, so what do we cut?
Yeah.
You know, do we say to Sally, sorry, you've now only got a part-time role? Or, you know, do we say to the youth, we can only meet once a month? You know, do we say to the CAP centre, I'm sorry, you can't go and help the poor for free anymore, you've got to charge them? And it's like, I just can't even think about doing that. And it's not to say that, you know, I can't cut my cloth or, you know, I'm not smart. I mean, I'm a smart man. I know how to do figures and stuff. But I just, the heart of me says, we're not here to cut back. We're here to at least, you know, maintain the mission and grow the mission that God's given
absolutely.
Us. And in my head, there's 100 things we're not yet doing, which is an exciting possibility. We can't even go there yet. So, I guess my heart would be, you know, please pray about it. And
For the men of the church, this Wednesday,
6:30, 7 o'clock at Sally's place on Tuesday. You've got to have XY chromosomes to come to my prayer meeting, though, so that's just whatever. And, you know, I mean, look at the hearts that Marcy talked about this morning. You know, if you find you don't have a devotion or love for Jesus, if you're here and you're not yet a believer, we're not trying to put the strong arm on you. We're not trying to get you to give. So please, just, you know, let all this information pass. But if you've got a gratitude for God's goodness, if you have compassion for the poor, if you want to respond in faithfulness, if you have a desire to see lost people find Jesus, if you have a desire to bless people because you've been blessed, or you have a responsibility to see the mission of the church flourish, then respond to that. And God will do the rest.
Thanks Rick.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.